Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, Episode 11, When Will I Get Faster? Mr. Smith Talks Triathlon, practical triathlon advice for everyday athletes. When will I get faster? The question we'd all like to know.
And I'm not sure I've got the exact answer you want, but we'll have a chat about that for sure.
For sure. It's nice to be back, Jared.
Yeah, well, you're always welcome back, even once Doug's back. We'll might have to chop and change.
Oh, I don't want to stand on Doug's toes, so he is the resident expert and pro at this.
The ex-broadcasting professional. Someone asked about that, actually. We must elaborate one day.
Yes, Doug did tell me the story, so it'd be interesting to let everyone else know about it.
Yeah. All right, so today, we normally just do a quick recap on what's happening in the team. So let's start with that. Well, in fact, what I really want to do is think about, we're now into October. I probably should have done this last week, the start of October, what's going on. More so just about the training in general than the team.
So just looking forward to see what's going on this month, you mean?
Yeah, that's right. Just make sure kind of what you're doing is lining up with where we're at in the season.
Gosh, some of those first season races, they're coming up pretty quick, aren't they?
Yeah, we just did a count before, eh? And so it was 8 weeks till Iron Māori, the first of the halves.
Seemed like months ago you were going, oh, plenty of time.
But it's still 20 weeks till Ironman. So you can see the huge difference there in how far away we are. So those who are doing a half Ironman in December, then we should be getting pretty onto it with the training now. You will have seen it building up. And so it's time to start getting a lot more focused about it.
A bit more specific sessions.
Yeah, most definitely.
Yeah, sure.
And for those doing Ironman, 20 weeks, still a long time. There's still big training to come in that period. Yeah, so
big case to go, but it'll come up, we'll fly by.
But even if you're doing a half before Christmas, then Ironman, I think sure you might be putting some good training in now for the half, but still keep the mental attitude quite relaxed and, yeah, not being completely engrossed in it every moment of your day.
No, because like you say, 20 weeks, that is still a fair way to go.
Yeah, that's for sure.
So what's been what's the focus of this month?
All right, so quite recently, most people would have seen the squad here in Wellington. The training volume has crept up.
Just a little bit.
and particularly, you'll notice it with the cycling. And what do we do on the weekend? Four-hour ride?
Four-hour ride yesterday, yes.
Yeah, so those have come up pretty quickly, and everyone's doing really well with them. And the thing is that the riding is the, I say, the safest, the easiest way to build some fitness. In fact, actually, the pool probably is. But if we were doing mega pool sessions, really long and lots of them, people are going to disengage with that.
People get a little bit bored following that little black line, don't they?
Yeah. I know for a fact that swimming is the thing that probably, on the whole, people enjoy the least.
Yes.
And would rather be out there running and riding. So, look, we do play to that. We don't try and force something in that's not going to be right.
No, and like you say, it's, I think, cycling, and you can ramp up, not quickly, but bigger blocks compared to, say, running.
That's it, running, you're much more likely to get injured if you really start cranking that.
Yep.
So the cycling, you can get the distance in, the mileage, and bring the intensity up a lot quicker than you can with running.
For sure.
So, that's what we've done. You've noticed that particularly with riding creeping up. And with the time on the bike, it's now really important that if we are 8 weeks away from Iron Māori, that anyone who doesn't have aero bars already really, really needs to get them straight away. Because you want plenty of time on those.
You want to get used to them as well and possibly look at a bike fit.
Definitely, yeah. Because if you've got just a normal road bike and you're going to put aero bars onto it, then a number of things have to change, because the way you sit on the bike and your elbows being on the bars instead of your hands, all of those things mean that the whole position needs to change.
So. Even just the seat and the pressure that the seat might put on you if you're leaning forward.
Yeah, so definitely need to get a bike fit with that.
And there's different ranges of bike fits you can get around as well. You can pay, $300 up to, you could pay $60, but definitely worth getting a bike fit.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah.
All right, and then with those aero bars is really spend time on them. Even though that here in Wellington we're out riding in groups most of the time, still really important to find yourself a bit of space and get used to spending time on those bars.
I think you also got to let your body get used to being on those bars as well, and get confidence of being on the bars, because it is a little bit further away from those brakes.
Yeah, that's for sure.
But you got to spend time, get your body used to it. I usually find it takes about 20 minutes, half an hour into a ride before I can get right comfortable, because the body still needs to adjust, even
still tight from the last training.
Yeah, still tight from the last training, and the body goes, no, I don't want to be down here. So get used to them for sure.
Sweet. So, really do make that a priority. If you haven't got the aero bars yet, or you haven't been spending much time on them, make that those priorities so that you're fully au fait with it.
Can you still do, for people that don't want to put aero bars on, can you still do a half-distance triathlon without them?
Absolutely. Yep. There's no minimum or restrictions on the equipment.
Yep.
You do see mountain bikes out there.
Oh, jeepers. It's a long 90Ks.
They're fairly rare these days. But you can use anything you want. That's absolutely fine.
But obviously, aero bars have great benefits.
For someone with a road bike, it's a really cheap way to buy speed.
Yes.
Because by putting yourself into a more aerodynamic position, you're going to immediately go 2, 3, 4 kilometres an hour faster, just depending on your setup, everything else.
For sure.
Yeah.
It's a cheap way to buy speed rather than buying a whole brand new bike.
Absolutely. All right, and the other thing with cycling too is that right now you should be, if you're not already, get familiar with eating and drinking while you're riding. We have stops along the way during our rides, and the bars come out there and everyone grabs a drink, but on race day you're not going to be doing that, or very few people will be doing that. So it's important just to practice that skill, if you're not so familiar with it, of taking a hand off, reaching for some food, eating on the go.
And the bike leg is the best time to fuel up?
Yeah, that's for sure.
Why is that?
Because it's the point where, obviously, you're not going to be eating while you're swimming.
True, yes.
When you're sitting on a bike, your upper body, or your body, is relatively static. Your legs are really doing the work.
Yes.
So you've got the most ability to digest food.
Yep.
Once you hit the run, you're running along, everything's jiggling, the heart rate's up a bit higher, so it's harder to digest at that
stage. And some of us usually leave our lungs and limbs on the bike before we jump on the run, so.
Yeah. So look, just make that a habit, a rule that we'll bring into squad, or not a rule, but we're going to be out there riding, so when you're stopped, no eating or drinking at that point.
Yes.
From now on, you've got to do it while you're riding.
You might as well practice what you're going to do on race day, don't you? Is that right?
That's for sure. It's the only way to make it happen.
And also a good time to try some new things, nutrition ideas.
Yeah, if you're really new to this, or you're not sure what you might have on race day, is spend the next few rides trying things out. Taste some different bars, gels, drinks, whatever it is. There's so many different preferences amongst the squad that is probably can chop and change and trade things and have to do taste tests for each other.
And also you find that not everything works for everyone. So someone might recommend a product and they go, yeah, this works for me.
And this is the best,
like my salted watermelon gel.
Loved it,
Gerard. So it might not work for you, but it might work for someone else and vice versa. So it's worth trying different things.
Yeah, great call. All right, and then still on the riding theme is that we want to make sure we finish long rides strong. Okay, so those long rides, they have built up pretty quickly, and we want to just really be aware of our pace and control so that you're not fading at the end of the bike, because we want to practice finishing for your half Ironman, finishing strongly, but still having some gas in the tank so that you can run afterwards. So if right now in training you're out there hammering at the start and you really fade at the end, well, that's not going to be any use on race day, is it?
No, but must be a balance of not finishing too hard that you've left for the bike. Great.
All right. The other thing, October time, we're going to be introducing open water swimming very soon.
It's time to get those wetsuits out and see if they've shrunk over the winter. Mine shrink every year. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's something to do with my garage.
But now, actually, they do to some degree.
Oh, they do?
There is something about the rubber, it dries out over winter.
Ah.
So someone gave me a tip once, is they actually just, you get it wet, let it dry out again before you go to use it the first time. Just bring a bit of moisture back into it.
That's where I've been going wrong. I thought the actual wetsuit, or I had expanded and the wetsuit had shrunk.
Oh, definitely that. But kind of prep the wetsuit, then it can expand to fit all of those winter pies.
So talk us through some really basic couple of, you know, what sort of drills and open water stuff are you going to be working on the next month?
Yeah, so Labour Weekend traditionally here in Wellington is when we hit the open water. There's a swim on Labour Weekend with the Tri Club. Lots of people together. It's a great chance to get in with lots of other people around. Then we'll be in the open water every week from then on.
Ooh.
Something to look forward to.
Yes, chilly.
But yeah, look, in the pool at the same time, we're going to start introducing those open water skills.
Because they translate, they do translate well, don't they?
Yeah, definitely. The more used to swimming while, sighting, open water sighting whilst you're swimming in a pool,
yes,
is just going to happen naturally in the open water.
Yeah, so you don't have to rely on the person in front of you going the right way.
Yeah, because look, for a lot of people, I know the swim start is a nervous time. Yeah, you might let a few people go, find a bit of space to swim on your own, so you've got to be able to navigate on your own. Yeah,
for sure.
Can't rely on everyone else out there. So yeah, look, start bringing those, recognising the workouts will have some of that built in to practice those open water skills in the pool so that you're more proficient with them in the open water as well.
And the more time you spend in the water, the more comfortable you get, being in a wetsuit, being in the cold,
definitely,
being in the water, being in the vast space that the water is.
Yeah, you got it.
And next up is running.
Yeah, so running, we're starting to hit the hills more and more. So we've, over winter, the light wasn't so good, the weather wasn't so good, so we generally stuck to the flat, doing a bit more speed work early on. But now we're going to the hills to really build that sustainable strength.
Yeah, we had a good session on Tuesday, didn't we, in the hills?
Yeah, that's right. So that's just the start of it. Learn to love the hills.
Learn to love the hills and learn how to pace. And
yeah, and how to run strong at the right time,
yes,
and safely at other times.
Yeah,
because the long runs, those are the places where you're most likely to get injured.
Yes,
because often the body's a bit tired when you're doing those. You're out there for a long time. You're stretching your ability of that running.
Yeah, and the form can go out the door as well.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. So really be safe with the long runs. Don't try and be fast in a long run.
No. One thing we haven't talked about is the pacing. The half Ironman and Ironman pacing, or did we talk about that at the beginning?
Look, let's leave that. In terms of the race itself?
Yeah, possibly.
Yeah, yeah. So earlier on we were talking about the kind of pacing your season, where we're at right now.
Okay. Yep, sorry.
Probably next month we'll come back to talking about the event itself.
Right, gotcha.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So last week seemed like a long time away, a long time ago. Well, give us a summary. We talked about triathlon as not swim, bike and run, that they're all integrated together.
Yeah.
Give us a bit of a summary about that, Jerry.
Yeah, so just quickly on that, can go back and listen to episode 10 if anyone missed it. But really just trying to communicate the message that you can't train for swimming, biking and running all as three different things. Yep. If you tried to train like a swimmer, train like a cyclist, train like a runner, it'd just never happen. There's not enough time in the day to fit it all in, and you'd ruin yourself.
Yeah.
So just really recognising that we have to train differently because we're training for triathlon.
Yes.
We've got less time for each of those disciplines, and we can't go hard all the time. And so the biggest thing I think I emphasised is that strength.
Yes.
Strength is the important part of it, so that you can comfortably get through the swim without ruining yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You can ride strongly on the bike, but still leave enough gas in the tank to run with.
And I've got that quote that I was stumbling around with last week. David sent me a text, and it goes, swim for go, bike for show, and run for dough.
That's it, yeah.
Mr. Mark Watson was very famous at saying that.
Yeah, because, it does come down to the run. It's where you either gain or lose the most time.
Exactly.
Depending on how you've paced the rest of the day.
And if you haven't swum... if you haven't swum accordingly to plan, or if you're blown out on the bike, your runs is going to be a very, very long run and quite torturous.
Yeah.
And you said that
sounds like fun, doesn't it?
It does sound like fun, sorry. and you see it all the time when you're at races, you see people gunning for it on the bike and they're going great speeds and great power, and then you catch up with them on the run when they're walking and they're in the gutter or sitting down. And
yeah.
That's when they've... burnt all their matches, so to speak.
Yep, happens every time you definitely see it out there.
Yeah.
But that's actually a really good lead-in to the main part of what we're going to talk about today, which was when will I get faster? And you were talking about that kind of that pacing and people people get carried away early on. And there's a really great quote I like from Joe Friel. He's a one of the very early triathlon coaches, specialist triathlon coaches in the US, very well known around the world. And he's said a number of times, most people overestimate what they can achieve in the short term and underestimate what they can achieve in the long term. Wow. And that's it's so true. You see it like you were talking about in races. Oh, I'm feeling great. Yes. I'm going to go for it on the bike.
Yes.
It's like, oh, okay, but there's still the rest of the day to go.
Yeah.
But also, everyone wants to be fast now. And I understand that, that we're doing a lot of training. You want to feel and you want to see the benefits
of that. You want to see the benefits straight away. And, you know, your mates might be going fast and you think, oh, I need to keep up with them. And But the short of it is that you're in for the long game, aren't you?
That's exactly it. Yeah, we're aiming to peak for a particular event in the future.
Yes, yes.
And so we're training day in, day out. And that you're probably not going to see the changes in that time because they're going to be small and subtle over time.
Yeah.
What hopefully you will see is some milestones along the way.
Like lead up events?
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. So the shorter distance tries that you might do in the lead ups, we do things like park run time trials.
Yeah.
So on a day-to-day basis in training, you might not realise it, but then you have a bit of recovery time, you go and do one of these events.
Yes.
And bang, whoa, look, there's a new best result. Things are clearly going the right way.
And it's amazing as well when if you, for whatever reason, you're forced to take a break. Mm. I don't know if you've found this, but if I've had a break for whatever reason for 5-6 days and I go and run, I have a great run.
Yeah.
Maybe
yeah.
because the body's rested, but then also I think your body catches up and goes, okay, we remember how to do this. You know, you're feeling fresh. And
yeah, you got it. We talked, I think, one of the previous episodes about recovery and how it's not more and more training that makes the difference. It's training plus the recovery.
Yeah, so, and that's what we have taper weeks for. I mean, we'll talk about we'll probably talk about that in the future, but that's where you have tapers,
Yeah. So, yeah, look, big thing is, yeah, I know we all want to get faster, but recognise that day-to-day training, we're often in a bit of fatigue. And the different kinds of workouts, they're always stretching us a bit further to perhaps go a little bit longer or sustain that effort a little bit longer.
For sure.
So recognise each of those small bits as a win, heading in the right direction. But don't expect to see, well, I'm now suddenly running a minute faster for every kilometre I'm out there. Mm-hmm. On a day-to-day basis, you're not going to see that.
No. And how does that sort of break down into the three disciplines?
Right, well, look, swimming, it's probably the most frustrating thing for most people, and swimming takes a long time, because as humans, we've spent many, many years standing on this earth, knowing how to hold our body upright, and we go and lie down with our face in a puddle of water, and it's going to feel quite unnatural, so we have to relearn how to hold ourselves in the water, and that really, it does take time. Some people adapt quicker than others, but it really does take a long time.
And a lot of it's technique as well, isn't it?
Mm, it is, yeah.
It's like a good golf swing, you know, there's lots of things, lots of variables that if you change this much, you'll go this bit faster, or if you do this, it's...
And there's so many different moving parts in swimming with arms, legs, head, body rolling, everything else.
Yeah.
And to put yourself in a foreign environment and expect to be able to do it, no way.
Yep.
So, look, swimming is probably the one that takes the longest, and we're talking potentially years for a lot of people to really develop that.
Yep, or years and a lot of time.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. The more often you're in the water, the quicker that progression should be.
Yep.
So, look, I know it's not the answer that people want to hear.
No.
Certainly over the course of a few months, you will experience and see some difference. But know that it really is a long term thing.
I don't think it's disappointing. It's probably more realistic, so people understand. Well, there's a reason why I'm possibly not going faster.
Yeah,
you know, straight away.
Yeah, that's right. And that like you said, technique is such a big part of it, because you can put all the effort in the world, but unless you're holding your body and moving it the right way through the water, you're not going to go faster. You're just going to burn more energy.
That's right.
So the real focus does have to be going into technique, and that's why you've heard me hammer so many times in swim squad about balancing and flotation.
Yes.
The more familiar you are with balancing and floating and holding your body in the water,
mm-hmm.
the more the other bits are going to follow that.
And it's also hard to self-critique when you're in the water because you can't see what you're doing.
Yeah, that's for sure.
You start overanalyzing things. You go, yes, am I doing this or am I doing that? And it's not until you see a video of yourself that you understand what different parts are moving.
Yeah.
And or not moving.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And on the bike, is there a way to...
On the bike? Yeah, so look, but bike is probably where people see it the most because, like we've talked about, ramping up the cycling distance and everything that we're doing.
Mm-hmm.
Then you're gonna feel fitness coming through with that, and it's not the kind of thing where you can really measure it and say, well, my usual 20k route, I did a 3 minutes faster this week because there's too many variables. Oh. There's the weather, the yes. road surface, all of those kind of things.
Yep.
The people with power meters, it becomes really, really measurable. You've used one of these in the past.
A power meter, yeah. Because you can, it's like for like, isn't it?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah. That it's instant, it's precise, it's here and now. And even the people who see improvements in their power output, they're not necessarily feeling faster for it.
No.
But again, come race day, that's all fitness and strength that's going to help them faster through the course.
Yep. And that leads on... Oh, sorry.
Yeah, so cycling, you can go out, you can ride a lot. And you'll probably find that your performance improves there.
Yep.
But again, it's very difficult to measure and quantify.
So you're saying that you get more gains from putting more effort or more time into cycling? Compared to the other two disciplines?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. Yep. Not saying that you don't spend time swimming.
For sure.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's where you're probably going to see the most return for your time.
Yep.
And again, it's the biggest part of the events that we do.
Yes.
And so that's where the biggest part of our training goes. Yep.
And then on to running.
And then running. So, look, the biggest thing that you look for any really, really top runner, and either currently or sometime in the past, they've done really big volumes of running.
Yeah.
And that's pretty tough on the body.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be really quite careful about the running to build that up and to get the right balance of volume and intensity over time.
What's the issue with ramping up running so quickly?
Purely impact.
Yeah.
Yeah, your body weight, I can't remember the exact number, but it might be every time you hit the ground, it's six times your body weight or something like that, forces going through, particularly the legs, the joints, the tissues. So that's just a huge stress on them. So
especially, being, one foot in front, one foot, then the other foot for hours.
This
is why a lot of people go off-road, because of that.
Yeah, that's it.
Taking the jarring off.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So running, got to be really, really cautious like that, as we've talked about before.
Oh, I actually saw a post from Cameron Brown saying that if he has a rest day, well, I think even up to two rest days, his body starts to seize up, so he needs to keep on moving with running.
Yeah.
And I think probably with cycling as well.
Yeah.
I mean, he's hitting the 40s, or I think he might be mid-40s, 47 maybe.
Yeah.
But he knows how to manage his running load.
Yeah.
And he said if he stops, his body will just seize up.
Yeah. And someone like that is so in tune with it. Exactly. He's been doing it for so many years.
Yeah.
So look, I don't mean that to sound doom and gloom.
Yeah.
But I want to come back to recognise that we're playing a long game here. If you want to hit a really top personal best, say at a half marathon, you don't just do an 8-week training plan to get there.
No.
You've got months, if not seasons, of work to really, really work on that. So, yeah, recognise certainly what we're doing is we're building up good fitness at the moment, and we want to be able to unleash that at our peak event, that chances are you won't be seeing or feeling great all the way through the training and going, yeah, I'm on fire.
And I think also your body, once you can do years, and once you do more than 1 year in the sport, your body starts to remember what it's like, and is it body memory, I think they call it?
Muscle memory.
So you go, all right, I've had 6 months off, but then my body knows what it needs to do because it did it 2 years ago or 3 years ago.
And you think if you were just starting out in the sport or any sport at all, your first year, your body is going to accumulate a certain capacity.
Yes.
Your base fitness or ability.
Yep.
You do some more next year, and that's that base has grown.
Yes.
You do some more the year after, that base has grown. And so that's like even the pros, is they still do base training because they recognise every year after year that they keep accumulating training time is all going to make them faster in the long term.
So it's not going to happen straight away.
Yeah.
No. Yeah. Good.
All right. So look, that's probably us. The key things just to remember what we touched on. We're into October. Get those aero bars and get used to them.
Mm-hmm.
Make sure you are practicing eating and drinking skills on the bike, and your training is becoming more and more specific. And in terms of what we were just talking about with the when will I get faster, don't try and be faster in every session.
No.
Follow the training plan so that you hit some workouts really hard, and others you're just safely getting through the time or the distance or building that base endurance.
And I think I mentioned it last week, there's a reason why you've put certain sessions in certain places.
Yeah, and we are getting to that time where earlier on in the training, it was much smaller what we were doing, and you could kind of shuffle things around.
Yep.
We're getting to the point now where you really want to be a bit more aware of it and make sure that those harder days are spaced out with the easier sessions in between.
Because you need the recovery, yeah.
Yeah, that's it. Fantastic.
Brilliant.
All right, that's us for this week.
Thanks, Jared.
Thank you for being here again.
And next week we've got a good one coming up.
Yeah, we have. Let's talk about that then.
Brilliant.
All right.
All right, cheers. See ya.